Father, I just thank you for this night. I thank you for these amazing people who have taken the time to come to hear your word, to learn more about who you are and how they can live more righteous lives for you, Father. And Lord, I just thank you. You continue to bless them and watch over them, keeping them safe. Lord, helping them each and every day to learn how to trust in you more and more. Father, I also thank you right now that you are with me and that you help my words come out clear tonight and concise so that my people, these people, our congregation, will not go home confused. We'll go home with a new energy, with a new joy, Father. So once again, I just thank you for this. Your son's name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Amen. All right, let me take a little drink because I'm feeling a little pasty. All right. So when I learn something new or maybe just have a revelation about something, I want to share it. Now, recently, I've had several of these moments, which makes it difficult to narrow down a topic to come here and talk to you guys about. So I think for the past, since my dad mentioned that I might be coming up here, it's been about a month that he's been threatening to do this. And so, and the first time he asked me, I said, no. Because he said, how about coming up? It's like a month ago. How about next week? I said, are you kidding? I have this going on and that going on. I can't go up there next week. I have to have time to prayer. Well, I'm what they call a procrastinator. And I was a very busy girl this past 5 days, and I still went ahead and had to do this, so, but it's all good. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you my life story here. All right, so like I said, recently, though, I have had several of these moments, and it makes it difficult to narrow something down. And so, like I said, as I've been knowing this was the day would be coming, I would type in my phone thoughts I'd have, or, you know, I'd hear somebody speak. I'm like, oh, that's really good. Or as I'm reading something, I write it down. All these ideas. And I said, Lord, which one? Which one? I have so many things I want to share. Which one? So finally, I think he said, go with that one. So here I am. So about 2 months ago, a friend of mine gave me a book about healing. And as I was reading this book, a simple statement just jumped out of me. It slapped me, shook me. It woke me up. But before I move on, I need two volunteers. Who wants to volunteer?
Of course you guys.
I need two volunteers. Oh, Tabby, come on up, baby girl. All right, Tab, I need another volunteer. Anybody else willing? Anybody else? I need someone willing. No, she's my volunteer. All right, Pam, come on up, baby girl. All right, two brave souls. Okay, good. All right. So thank you guys for volunteering. Chrissy is my assistant this evening. And yes, we have to blindfold you. Yes, it's part of.
It's a lesson.
Yes, you can give them the two. Yeah, no, we'll be all good. All right, so what I want to make sure you're aware, though, I have a bucket up here because they have to drink what's in that cup. And so the bucket is there just in case they don't like what's inside the cup. All right, and of course, they're going to be blindfolded just because blindfolding is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Exactly. So now that they're blindfolded, it's just to make sure, just in case. So like I said, the bucket is there just in case. Hobby to the help. He's so good. All right, now. There are a couple rules here, though. Miss Chrissy's going to be handing you guys your drinks, but do not drink until I tell you to, okay? All right, here she's going to hand them to you. Hold on to your drink. All right, Pam, hold your drink. All right, do not drink until I tell you to yet. Just hold on. Not yet. Reminder, the bucket's right in front of you, okay? All right. Now, oh, wait, I forgot one more thing. Chrissy, one more thing. I forgot.
Hold on.
Hold on. Yeah, I forgot. Wrong cups. All right, so here are the correct cups now. So before we begin, Because I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, you can drink, okay, at the same exact time. But anybody want to back out first? Are you guys okay? You sure? You are. You are very brave. I got to tell you guys this. You're very, very brave. All right, on count three. Ready? Ready, everybody? On count three. One, two, three. No, you don't have to drink. No, just try it. Well, thank you guys for participating. What was it?
What?
What was it in there?
What did it taste like?
It was water. It was water. It was water. Thank you guys for playing along with me. You are all done. I appreciate your help. Good. Yeah, all I had in there was water. That was it. It wasn't that bad. But did you guys think I had something else in there? Right? I mean, you never know. I mean, but I was trying to paint a little scene that, I mean, Tabby was a little nervous. I mean, she was a little concerned. She's like, wait, blindfold me? Wait a minute. I have to drink this? Wait. So just because, you know, we can see what's happening, it may not always be the truth. So for many non-believers and believers alike, fear is a real thing.
Yes.
You know, throughout my lifetime, I've heard many people say, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm so happy for them if that's true. I mean, if that is true, if they're not afraid of anything, they are living a life that is blessed.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, when they say that, I'm like, what's wrong with me then? Because I've got plenty of them. I've got plenty of fears to go along with the fears you don't have. But as I got older, though, I realized that what they weren't afraid of were things like bugs, you know, or trying new things, or riding roller coasters. And maybe, dare I say, everyday common stuff. I'm not afraid of anything. I can drive a car. I can go there. I can get to Pittsburgh and back. Nobody can stop me. But what we don't recognize and what we don't deal with are the fears that are deep and have roots. These are the fears that others can't see. I mean, you can see when someone's brave and hops on a roller coaster and says, I can do this, and puts their hands up and has a great time. But then there's those fears that hide. We don't sometimes even realize they're actually even a fear. Ever heard of these terms before? They are acronyms. FOMO. Ever heard of FOMO? Ever heard of FOBO? How about FOLB? I made that one up, by the way. So you probably didn't hear it till tonight. I made that one up. But these are terms, first, especially FOMO and FOBO, are terms that the media or advertising has created to sell products. FOMO is F-O-M-O. It stands for the fear of missing out. If you walk into work or school the next day, everyone's talking about the latest show that was on, and they turn to you and say, did you see it? And you, of course, say, well, no, I didn't. I was at church. Or I was at a function, or I was at VBS. And they go, what? I can't believe I didn't see that show. So for fear of missing out, you run home, click on Netflix, and binge that show. Because next day you go back in and go, oh, that was a great show. Bah! You want to be included, so it's a fear of missing out on the everyday stuff. And people don't think it's a fear. Like, how would that even be a fear? Not watching the latest show? That's not a fear. But it has roots, and we don't know it's there because we think it's just everyday common stuff. What about throwing something away? People don't throw away a cup or a T-shirt. I have shirts in my closet. Pants in my closet that do not fit because one day I will put those pants back on and it will be glorious. And they sit in the back of my closet and collect dust. But because I don't want to miss out on that one day, I keep them in there. And so there's no room for something new. That's a root that's rooted in fear. How about FOBO? FOBO. Fear of better offers, not fear of BO. Fear of better offers. We don't buy that house. We don't get that car. We don't buy those shoes. We don't buy that shirt because what if there's a better offer next week?
That's a good point, Lee.
Right?
Yeah.
Fear of better offers won't let us make plans.
Amen.
Well, what if I commit to going out with that person and then somebody else calls me up and says, want to go out? And I like them better. So I want to go with them, but I made plans with somebody else. So fear of better offers means you won't commit to things because you're afraid something better will come along. That's a fear that has roots. Now, the one I made up, bulb, that one is like my life. I live in that one. I live there. It's the fear of looking bad. It's the fear of looking bad, and it's because when you, and I especially find this when I'm at work, you know, when I have projects that are due, and one of my major duties, I shouldn't say major, but one that I find the most annoying, is that I have to find substitutes. I knew I'd get an amen from Eleanor back there. I knew I would. I have to find substitutes whenever a teacher will be out because they're sick or at a conference, or even during the day if they have a meeting. I have to find coverage for their class. And I spend my time with that process pleasing subs, trying to please teachers because they want certain subs, and subs are like, can I get in more? Help me get in more. Can you, I hear somebody's going to be off next week. Can I get that spot? I'm like, no. I have more than just one sub, but I have to share the wealth as much as I can. So I always find that I'm trying to please everybody and make everyone happy because I don't want to look bad.
Yeah.
And I don't want my bosses to think I'm doing the wrong thing, so I want to look good in front of them. So there's this never-ending cycle of not wanting to look bad. Or maybe you'll go to every single party because you don't look bad for not going. Well, if I don't go, I don't want to look bad.
Right.
Right? You have to go to the wedding because it's the wedding of the century. And you don't want to miss out because what if something great happens and there's a fear of missing out?
There it goes, a cycle.
And if you commit to fear of better offers, you know, what are you going to do? But these are fears that have roots. Now, just because someone isn't afraid to ride a roller coaster doesn't mean that they don't fear looking weak in front of others. Just because someone has a chronic illness and continues to go to work every day and remains active doesn't mean they don't fear never getting better.
Yeah.
So you know what? Fear is a liar.
Yes, it is.
Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to read verse 44. Fear is a liar. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it. Fear is a liar. So in John 8, verse 44, it says this. Now, but actually, before I read it, this is Jesus talking to the Jews, and this is before they decide to crucify him. Actually, at this point, if you read the whole entire chapter, they're trying to figure out, kind of like finding reasons why to crucify him at this point. And chapter 8, oh, it's so good. I mean, to hear Jesus put them in their place, I love it. It's really, really good. But this verse, too, is amazing as well. So John 8, verse 44, it says, he says to them, you belong to your father, the devil. What? And you want to carry out your father's desires. What? Mm-hmm. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. Native language being lies,
right.
For he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus says that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. So, if fear is a liar, and if Satan is a liar, then Satan is fear.
Yeah, come on.
It's been said, or society has given it meaning, the word fear can be an acronym. False evidence appearing real. Ever heard that? Right? It's the truth, though.
Yeah.
Our fears are based on things that we think may or may not happen. Nothing is real about our fears. One of my biggest fears, I will admit to you, are spiders. Even saying the word gives me the chills. I have been frozen in fear, literally. You can ask Christina Lamb about it. But frozen in fear, literally, not even seeing the spider, but knowing it was in the room somewhere. Knowing it was there, I was frozen in fear. Didn't even see it. But because of someone else's reactions to it, I freaked out. It was false evidence appearing real. Right? So Satan, though, he uses smoke and mirrors to get us to believe his lies. Kind of like what I did over here. I wasn't going to make you drink anything bad, but I was setting up a scene. I was telling you there was a bucket, too, that you might want to, you know, spit it back into if you don't like it. And I was leading you to believe that there was something bad in the cups in the first place. And then by blindfolding you and then having Christy walk away with your cups and come back with maybe something different, all created a scene. I put some more fear into you. The devil can't make you do anything. Do you guys know this?
Come on.
He can't make you do anything. But he's a master deceiver.
Yes, he is.
And he will try. Mm-hmm. He's experienced at making us believe anything that interferes with God's plan. So I found on the internet a list of the lies of fear. These are good. There's only five of them, so don't worry. I'm not going to read like 25 lies of fear. There's just five of them. But when I read this brief statement, you can fill in the blank afterwards. Because I guarantee we've all said one of these five statements, if not all of them, at a time or two, maybe today, maybe yesterday, maybe last week, but we've said them, not knowing they are rooted in fear, just thinking it's just the way it is. Here they are. I can't. Right? God won't. Fill in the blank. Nobody cares. I think I heard somebody say that tonight, actually, in this room tonight. I heard somebody say, well, nobody cares anyway. What? We think that. We think no one cares about our opinions. When you're with a group, maybe at work, maybe at school, maybe here at church, and the people are having a conversation, and you want to add to the conversation, but you think, nobody cares what I'm going to say anyway, so why say it? That's a lie.
Come on.
Rooted in fear.
Yes.
Say it. If we don't like it, we'll tell you.
That's family. That's right.
If we don't like it, we'll tell you. Here's number four. I don't matter. I say that at work a lot. I don't matter in the sense of I don't matter as a person, but I always say my job doesn't matter. Because I'm a secretary at work. I'm an administrative assistant. And I spend my day putting out fires. Like, that is what I do all day long. Right, but because I don't make decisions, though, but because I'm not the one who's the boss and says what's important and what's not important, I'd say, well, I'm just a secretary. I don't matter anyway. Yeah. And I, as I'm writing these down, I go, wait a minute, I say that all the time. All the time. Like, that's my key phrase at work. And I think I go laugh. Ha, ha, ha. And it's not right.
That's right.
And the last one, it's too late. These are lies that fear tells us. And fear is who?
The devil.
The devil. Yeah. Satan is fear.
Yes, he is.
So when we give in to our fears, what are we doing?
Giving in to him.
Giving in to Satan.
Come on.
Satan uses fear and its lies to separate us from Jesus. If Satan can get us to reject ourselves and doubt all the promises of God, then we will ultimately reject God.
Mm, Come on, that's good preaching. Wow.
That was a mic drop moment. Boom.
Yep.
Mic drop. If Satan can get us to reject ourselves and God's promises, then we'll ultimately reject God. Amen.
Amen.
And that is because we spend our lives focusing on the fear, which means we're focusing more on Satan.
Oh boy.
And he's thrilled. He's like, yes, yeah. I got them off of the man I can't stand.
Oh boy.
But, to quote Casting Crowns, who I love and just saw on Saturday, woot woot, not to plug it, but yeah, it was awesome. There's a song, and there's a beautiful line in the song, and it says, there's a place where fear has to face the God you know. Mm-hmm. Go to Deuteronomy 31:6. Deuteronomy 31:6. I believe this verse is becoming a theme. And I had no intentions of putting this verse in this message, but then I heard it at a concert. I heard someone saying, and I thought, oh my gosh, that would fit perfectly. So I threw it in. Because I don't know if you guys know, but Deuteronomy 31:6 is our VBS scripture of the week. And even last week, I guess I think Jack threw it in too. At the very end, he goes, hey, I'm just going to add this one in. I'm like, because he's like, I can't believe it. So it's everywhere.
That's right.
So Deuteronomy 31:6 says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do not be afraid or terrified of them because the Lord your God is with you. God fights for us. He fights for you. It's like having a really great bodyguard.
Yep.
As long as we let him do his job.
That's right.
To let him do his job. Because if you've seen any kind of movies that have maybe some kind of detective movies or mob movies where there's always some main guy, some main person who's like the boss, and he's got an army of guards around him that have a job to do, and that's protect that man. And he trusts them to do their job. He doesn't doubt it. He just sits back in the corner and goes, go. We don't even do that.
That's right.
We don't even do that. As Christians, I'm even awesome. God is better than those bodyguards ever can be or hope to be. We don't even do that.
Amen.
But God fights for us. He wants to fight for you. So go to Deuteronomy 3:22. At some point, fear has to face the God you know.
That's good stuff.
So, Deuteronomy 3:22 says this, do not be afraid of them, but the Lord your God himself will fight for you. Mm-hmm. Boom. He'll fight for you.
Yeah.
Let him fight for you.
Amen.
Stop focusing on your fears. Get your mind off your fears. Get your minds off of what you can't do, what you think God won't do. What you think nobody cares about, what you think, what are the other ones? It's too late, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Psalm 118:6. That's 118, verse 6. Psalm 118, verse 6. God fights for you.
Amen.
Let him. He says, don't be afraid, so let's listen. But I know it's hard because lies seem real to us. When we hear Satan whisper in our ear that we can't do something, we listen. Something's too physically hard. We go, oh, I can't do that. I can't climb those stairs. I can't climb that ladder. And we don't because we think, oh, well, if I climb it, I might fall and I'll get hurt. And so we make up this extra scenario, once again, false evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
So, where are we? Psalm 118, verse 6 says, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Now, I didn't like this verse in the NIV. All my verses are from the NIV. Because mere mortals, I felt like, what are we, Lord of the Rings here? other versions say, what can man do to me? Mm-hmm. Yep. What can man do to me? So when you go to school and someone's bullying you, what can they do to you? Yeah. God fights for you.
Yes, he does.
Let him fight. So the Lord is with you, and do not be afraid, because what can man do to you? Nothing.
That's right.
1 John 4:18, go there. 1 John 4:18. I love this verse. It's a really, really good one. 1 John 4:18. All right, 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now let's dissect it, okay? First of all, it says, there is no fear in love. So, if Satan is fear, then what is love? God.
Yeah.
So then this is true, because there can't be any fear in love, because if God is love, there's no fear in God.
Amen.
So there is no fear in love. So when there is love, when you abound in love, there's no fear.
That's right.
Next statement, perfect love drives out fear. So if God is love and God is perfect, then guess what? Perfect love drives out fear.
Yeah.
Get Satan out of here.
That's right.
Because fear has to do with punishment. Fear, when we have fear, it's never a happy thought.
That's right.
We never come outside of sight with something happy. It's always about something that might hurt us or harm us or might keep us from living our lives. And the last part says, the one who fears us is not made perfect in love.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for fear to go, we must be made perfect in love. So the statement, if you guys want to know or are curious, that I read about in this book, it says, I need to break up with fear and say, I do. To love himself.
Yeah.
So not just love, but love himself. And that's the part. That's the statement that I was like, what? Not just love. Not just ooey gooey gushy love. But perfect love.
Yeah.
God's love.
Yeah.
I mean, to break up with fear.
Come on.
Oh, get it out. So if you want a title, here it is. We need to reject fear and embrace love.
There you go.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Because God is love.
Yes, he is.
And God's love does not require us to be worthy to receive it. His love is truly benevolent and gracious.
Yes.
Go to Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8, please. God's love does not require us to be worthy. Reject fear and embrace love himself. Romans 5:8, it says this, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, he sent his son to die on the cross when we were train wrecks.
That's right.
When we were hot messes.
That's good.
He took us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Rejecting fear means rejecting Satan. Rejecting fear means rejecting Satan and all his lies, because He is a liar.
Yeah.
Embracing love means embracing Jesus.
Yeah.
It means seeking him,
amen,
his face, seeking his kingdom.
Amen.
So go to Psalm 34:4. Psalm 34, verse 4. Embracing love means embracing Jesus.
Yeah.
Psalm 34, 4. It says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what else? Go to 2 Timothy 1. All the way at the other end. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We're going to read that one. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. It says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid. Does not make us afraid. Does not make us to fear. But gives us power, love, and self-discipline or a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
One more. Isaiah 43:1.
Yeah.
Isaiah 43:1. One more. Isaiah 43:1 says this, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine.
Yeah.
I'll end with this. If we belong to Jesus, and he calls us his, and he fights for us, we have no reason to fear.
Yeah.
Any questions, comments, or concerns? Say it again. It says, I need to break up with fear and say I do to love himself. You're welcome. So, I have delivered what I have received from
Thank
the Lord.
You. Thank you,
I hope you are encouraged, and I hope you are...